Welcome to The Empathetic Man. My name is Sethi Hillier, and I'm joined with Nimesh Gupta, and together we are going to help explore how you as a man can be more empathetic. Each week, we are going to dive into a topic that may relate to your relationship with your spouse, your kids, or just life in general. We are looking forward to your engagement and your feedback, so let us know through your comments what other questions we can tackle, and we hope you enjoy this week's episode. Hey guys, Sethi here with Nimesh back at Empathetic Man. Thanks for always listening. We really appreciate just having your guys' attention, for this little bit of time in your day. And again, we always appreciate the feedback. So as you think of more things or you want to leave comments or suggestions, please do, because we read every single one of them. This week, thought just kind of change it up a bit, because I think it's been quite heavy lately with all the things going on. And this question kind of was posed in a forum that got me thinking, and I figured, hey, you know what, like, let's do this kind of together. So I'll frame the question and, just kind of share some ideas that I'm thinking, and then we can kind of dive into how we respond. So the question was, what did you used to do that you knew worked, but you don't do it anymore? So again, the question is, and I think this is a great question to ask yourself or ask someone that you're close with, your spouse, your kids, even if they're older, your coworkers. But again, what is something that you used to do that you knew worked, but you don't do it anymore? And before kind of letting you maybe respond with your thoughts, before kind of giving an answer, I think what's really interesting about this question is it does kind of ask a number of things. It is somewhat loaded, right? Because it's asking you to think about your history and some of the things that you used to do that you felt were working, but then it's also challenging you on like, well, why did you stop doing it if it was working? And then also on the other side of that, like, that's A. And then B, what are you adding to your plate that I guess you felt was more important than something that was working? So, a lot of things going on there, but I just thought it was a really fascinating question. I'm still trying to kind of think about this. And I do also think, like, times change. Maybe what you used to do when you were single is going to be maybe not available as a married person with kids. But that being said, I figured this could be a pretty cool question to just get those juices flowing and maybe help people go back to some of those things. Like, yeah, you know what? I used to do that and I really enjoyed it, or it was really effective. And now that I think about it, I'm going to really try to put some time behind it. I'll stop right there, because I'd love your thoughts on this so far, Nimesh.
Yeah. Oh man, I love these types of conversations. Quick question. When you say what worked, can you explain that a little more in this context? Like, what is it? What does that mean? Is it something that provided you, like, it worked for you? It enabled you to get a particular result, feeling?
Yeah, it is, I guess, somewhat subjective, right? Because, if you're thinking about this in the business context, you might say, well, I used to, invest in advertisement and I was able to kind of see, new business as a result. But now we've kind of moved to other areas and we're not seeing that work, or that aren't working so well. And why do we give up on like that particular type of, thing we did? Or if it's more kind of personal, it's like, I used to, I used to like spend time playing music, and I remember how it made me feel and how I just was kind of, at peace, or kind of felt meditative when I was doing that. I enjoyed it. And now here I am years later and I never do it anymore. So I think it's a very subjective thing. I don't think there is something that like someone has to tell you like that worked. I think it's what worked for you, or kind of what you felt was just gelling well. And because of whatever circumstance, now you're no longer doing that. And why you think that may be the case, and if it's something that you think is worth bringing back into your life.
Got it. Cool. Do you want me to start it off, or?
Yeah. So again, I just thought, if you don't have an answer, I would love to just kind of get your thoughts on just the question as a whole. But if you do have some thoughts, and again, we could even go back and forth on maybe some other ideas as they come to fruition, I'd love to go from there, but I'll kick it over to you.
Yeah, no, I appreciate the question. I think I'll dive into like a high level. I have a few responses, so I'll dive into one, and maybe that'll help me after explaining what my answer is and then hearing your answer kind of provide more color into the question. And this is not kind of a surprise in my first response, which is drinking, right? Like drinking for me, quote unquote, worked. It enabled me to unwind. It enabled me to ironically, surprisingly think clearer at times because I was less handcuffed with reluctance or fear or any of the other feelings that sometimes may cloud one's ability to kind of dream big, if you will. And I stopped doing that specifically when I had children because I heard a ton of stories about how when you are under the influence, it's very hard to, in real time, just physically turn that off and then handle your kids, right? So like, it's, you know, some people think, okay, you can drink, and then when you're around your kids, you can stop drinking. But, you know, all of us have been through that particular experience or experiences where we drink at night and you wake up like literally still feeling buzzed. Or in the more real case, kids don't sleep through the night, especially newborns, right? So it's very hard to go drinking one night and then come home at one or two. And then if your kid's crying, you have, you know, and say your partner maybe is attending to the other kid or et cetera, you being in a position where you're handling a kid when they're drinking. So for me, one thing that I kind of really stopped doing, and this was specifically in a effort physically to never be in a position where I'm mishandling a child, was drinking. And it even extends beyond just my own kids, right? Like I don't drink around my nieces or nephews because, you know, they're very touchy and they like giving me hugs. I like picking them up, et cetera. And I've always promised myself that I would not handle them while drinking. And it's been tough because I do feel by not drinking, a lot of the, you know, the moments of not only clarity, but just moments to relieve stress, if you will. I haven't had those opportunities to relieve stress in those ways that alcohol would do for me in the past. So I'll stop right there and open it up to you.
Yeah. And first off, I mean, that's so admirable, man. And I kudos. And, you know, I kind of have, you know, even learned from you in terms of kind of some of your approaches to alcohol. And I think what you're saying is interesting because, yeah, like you're kind of pointing out something that had positive or, you know, benefits to you in one shape or another, and you are not continuing to do it because there's also negative things that can come with it. And those are obviously a lot more important right now because of kids being involved. And who knows, right? Like imagine now your kids are, or you're not just your kids, but your nieces or nephews are older. It's, you know, 10, 20 years from now. Will you still have that same mindset or will you be more open? And I think time will tell. But I think what you're saying is interesting because again, it's sometimes something where, again, it may have been good in the past, but now it's still not appropriate or it's no longer appropriate because of the situation. And I completely agree with how you're thinking. And that's something that I've also personally, just on a side, have always kind of struggled with because I didn't drink for the longest time, only really until college is when I started drinking. And it was because I always kind of felt like, you know, I know what it's like to be a young child and be around a parent who is alcoholic, and it's scary. And the last thing I wanted to do is to become that. You know, then when I'm in college, I wasn't really thinking about that too much. So I kind of became a little bit more open to it. As soon as I had kids, I was always kind of teetering because I also didn't want to be that type of parent where I'm so against it that I create this kind of fear. And then all of a sudden my child kind of thinks like it's such a negative thing. And then they have this, I don't know, situation where like when they get older, they're like, I never touched it, but now I'm out. I'm on my own. I'm in college and I'm going to go nuts, right? Like I want to provide my kids, you know, a soft landing. And if I can kind of be there with them when they have their first drink, I would prefer that than not. But at the same time, like I do remember like at the end of last year, because again, I definitely have cut down my drinking a lot. But I do remember at the end of last year, I ended up going out with some friends having some drinks. and I hadn't drank for probably a few months. And, you know, when I came home, I was definitely like, you know, happy. I'm not the type of person who gets like kind of angry, but I was also in a position where I was like, whoa, like I'm not even 100% sure what I'm saying right now. And it just, and I think my son, I think because of, you know, he was six, right? He's still six. I think he's like, I think he might have told my mom like, oh, like dad's acting kind of different. Yeah. And again, nothing bad happened. Like I just was like, you know, more kind of like the inhibitions were gone. And I think I had kind of drank more than I should have. But that also just made me realize like, yeah, like I don't want to definitely hurt them, but I also don't want to kind of like have them, I don't want them to kind of like see this side of me where they feel like I'm like out of control. So it was kind of a wake up call. And this year, 2020, like I kind of feel somewhat proud. Like I haven't had alcohol at all, you know, even during COVID, where I think a lot of people have kind of turned to it. And I think it's just because, yeah, like I don't want to, I'm constantly surrounded by kids and I don't want that to be a way they see me. But it is something that I'm also still trying to figure out what to do, because I know my wife and other people who have, you know, who like to drink, they ask me about it. And there's that social element that I feel like sometimes I'm missing. So it's a tough one, but what you are doing and what you are, why you're kind of doing what you, you're making the decision that you've made, I completely respect and admire, because I think it's coming from a really good place.
Appreciate that. And congrats on not drinking this year. I mean, that's amazing, dude.
Yeah. It's going to, I think I'll probably maybe, you know, be a little bit more open on my birthday, but we'll see.
Yeah.
I'll go on kind of on my side, 'cause I started thinking about this question a lot. And I think one of the things that I started to remember that I was always into, and for some reason, maybe it was just, you know, time, or I just felt like, you know, there was always other things kind of on my plate, but I always remember enjoying it, was music. Like I've always really enjoyed music, whether it's like playing music, listening to music, you know, even when I was younger, I used to like sing in high school, and I was part of like a kind of like band of like guys, like a boy band. And, you know, we did like our graduation song and like talent shows. And it was just something that I always enjoyed doing. And I always remember thinking like, if I could turn this into a career, I totally would have. But I don't know. I think maybe I just played it safe and I decided, hey, I'm going to go down a path that just feels more kind of secure. But as I got older, I just started remembering like, you know, and I'm not a musician by any means, but I just remember how much I enjoyed it. Like how fulfilling I'd feel when I'd be, you know, playing an instrument or practicing or singing with people. So that's one thing that I remember I used to do. I enjoyed it and I totally stopped doing it for so many different reasons. And now I actually feel like I'm kind of actively trying to get back into it. And I think what I am enjoying is that I feel like it really goes well with kids. Like I feel like kids love music. It's a great way to kind of just spawn creativity. And I feel like I'm fortunate to have kids who really resonate with that, whether it's singing or dancing or trying to play instruments. And so that's been something that I've really tried to put more as a priority, even to the point where, like, you know, if I do have some time alone, like I'll literally try and, you know, learn things on YouTube or kind of practice what I'm doing on a piano or on a ukulele, just so I can feel more proficient at this. And I think also the kind of secondary, you know, benefit is they're seeing me do this like every day or every other day. And I'm hoping that eventually they will feel motivated and compelled to take up an instrument on their own. 'Cause I do feel like it also just creates such like positive, you know, brain activity and like, you know, development, because of all that's required to really like do things with respect to instruments. So that's one that I just been kind of toying with on the side, but I feel like it's become quite a big part of my life again, which I'm happy about.
And just to be clear, the specific reason you stopped doing it?
I think it was a couple of things. I think one, I just never felt like with instruments, I guess I never felt that I had time to go and find someone who could teach me. And I think that was okay. Just an excuse that I kind of maybe made, because I probably had other things on my plate. And then secondly, I think because I never got that coaching, I was never that good. So it would begin, it would start to become a little frustrating because I felt like I could never get anywhere. And then I think once I started to, especially with like ukulele, where I felt like I could actually play songs and I could self-learn by watching, you know, videos of people going through this. I'm not anywhere near professional, but I feel like I can at least like, you know, carry a tune. That has, I think, motivated me to continue to do it because I'm seeing some results. So I think it's that combination of there's now ways for me to do this and learn on at home, kind of at my own pace. And I'm able to do it in a way where I can actually start to see some sort of output that makes me feel good. And I can see my kids kind of enjoying it.
Got it. That's cool. That's interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, I would encourage you to, you know, to make a concerted effort through some type of phased approach to try it out, you know, to go back to what you're most interested in, at least one particular instrument or a specific style, et cetera, and try it out.
Yeah, because you're right. I mean, there's so many different ways I can approach this. And I do think it ends up becoming one of these things where I can kind of be kind of like a jack of all trades. In fact, I was talking to my wife about this last night and I was like, you know, I feel like I'm the type of person where I'd rather not be okay at a bunch of things. I'd rather just kind of find a couple of things and really go deep into it. And so I think that's one thing that I'm still wrestling with, what that would be, because, you know, there's a lot of different things about music that I love, but I think if I really want to excel, I'm going to have to pick one and go deep.
Yeah. Cool. I think the second one, so the first one was obviously alcohol. For me, something that worked in the past was actually telling people how I felt right then and there. And it was something that I kind of prided myself around, where I feel like I have the ability to just process in real time what's going on and kind of call folks out, if you will, in real time. And it worked for me because I rarely was someone who kind of was left with something kind of like lingering and bothering me, right? So like, because I kind of got it off my chest, I called out the person that I needed to. I was then able to kind of move on with my life. And that changed when I heard this really, really insightful comment by Warren Buffett. You know, obviously the one of the best investors in the world who I admire and I've been reading a lot about recently and just kind of following his work. And he said, you can always tell someone to go to hell tomorrow. And I thought it was a really interesting comment in that what he's essentially saying is, look, you need to understand that when you are heated or it's in the moment, you may say or do things or misread a particular situation. So take some time to let it sit, for you to calm down, for you to think more about it, and then bring it up again. And for me, it's been like such life-changing advice, where when I know I start getting heated and I disagree or I, you know, want to call someone out on things, it's helped me in my relationship especially. I walk away or I try to diffuse the situation. And my wife's noticed it because we would always subscribe to this thought about, like, you know, never go to sleep being mad at each other, right? And what I found was you can still go to sleep like disagreeing with someone. You don't necessarily have to be mad at them. And I never really understood the difference. And now what my wife and I do is, if I am heated, and she's different, she's able to handle her emotions, I feel, a lot better than me in various ways. But if we are on the verge of getting into a fight or even in an argument, she knows to just give me space, because I've subscribed to this particular thinking that has helped me, where I know I'm heated and it's because I'm just generally a passionate person and I, you know, start thinking one thing, then the other thing, and it kind of builds up, and I just let it sit. And man, it's just, it's helped me so much. So I arguably this old mindset never technically worked for me to begin with, because even though it would make me feel better and get things off of my chest, it may not have been best for the situation. This is an example of something that I've evolved. My thinking has evolved, and you know, it's only been a few years since I've been really trying to practice this, but man, it's just been really, really good for me. Does that all make sense?
It does a lot. And you know, it's kind of interesting because I kind of feel like I also had a similar type of approach where, you know, if I faced any type of disagreement or, you know, not even confrontation or argument, but just if I was in a conversation with somebody, like I always wanted to kind of like not have closure, but just be able to kind of talk through everything. And I always thought that was something kind of like, hey, that's like one of my strengths. Like I'm not the kind of person who just like walks away, or I'm not the type of person who like, you know, will get all quiet and shut down. It's because it's like, I'm trying to tell that person like, hey, no, I want to talk to you about this. I want you to like, you know you have my attention. But then as I kind of, you know, had multiple relationships and started realizing, you know, like not everyone's like that. And, you know, me trying to push, not even my agenda, but me just trying to communicate the way that I want to communicate doesn't necessarily create a dialogue. It just creates, you know, maybe I think more of like a lecture. And, and so I've definitely tried to, you know, adjust that, because I think, you know, the good is, you know, if you think about like, what's the positive of the past? Well, you and I both, I think both kind of shared like, hey, we like to communicate. We like to, you know, convey our feelings and our thoughts, and that's great. The area of improvement is to be able to do it in a way that like everyone is ready. And I think that's what, you know, Warren Buffett's saying is, you know, you can tell them tomorrow or whenever, because, you know, it's not going to, because even if you do say it in the moment, it may not even be that effective because they're not ready to hear it.
Yeah.
You know, they're not ready to receive it. And I think that's really a really powerful thing to remember and practice. I think it's incredibly difficult. Something that I constantly like have to remind myself, but it's a great skill. Because
and to close that loop, sorry, I think it's a good point you just made, where it actually gives time for everyone involved to be able to have that discussion, not just yourself. I think that's a very, very important point. Thanks for making that.
Yeah, exactly, because that's the whole purpose of communicating, right? It's to have that dialogue with everybody in the room. And you know, if they're not ready, you know, it's just kind of like falling on deaf ears, and or it's just going to be completely like wasted time. So I think that's really cool that you're making that assess. You've been able to kind of assess and kind of adjust accordingly. I think it's really amazing that also even your wife is able to kind of know that about you and give you that respect. I think once people respect each other's, you know, approaches, I feel like things just become a lot more easier because everyone's kind of honoring each other's kind of mode. Now, you know, you do still have to figure out like, how do you stitch together these different puzzle pieces? But I think that's kind of the interesting and kind of exciting thing about life. But that's cool, man. And I think I'll say for mine, you know, because I don't want this to come out the wrong way, but like, I feel like one of the things that like I've tried to do is if I find something that works, I really try to like stick with it, you know? And like, and I know you and I think are kind of similar, like, you know, fitness, right? I think once we both realize like, hey, we can, you know, really incorporate fitness in the way that we work, you know, I feel like we've been able to really continue that train, whether it's, you know, we were in the office or now working from home or whatever. So some of those types of things that aren't ones that I would normally necessarily talk about. I think one that I am kind of coming back to, and I think it's because I've just been having some dialogues with my wife and maybe even just kind of doing a lot of reflection about it, is when I was younger, I was very social. Like I was that kid who, you know, would like kind of be the life of the party, and, you know, I would bring a lot of energy, and I liked kind of always being around people and hanging out with people, et cetera. And I think also maybe I'm starting to see this because my son, I feel like, has a lot of that similar like tendencies. There was this kind of very inclusive nature within myself. And as I got older, I started to realize that, you know, I like socializing, but my desire to kind of be the life of the party or kind of create this huge environment was fading. And now I find that I'm in this position where I do really enjoy a lot of like solidarity I don't know if I'm using the right word, but like kind of like having that ability to kind of just be on my own and really kind of like, you know, just process and ponder, et cetera. And it's interesting because like I've been talking to my wife lately about, you know, just socializing and hanging out with people, and we're kind of like flipping, right? We're flipping kind of how we approach this, where I think for her, she wasn't as like motivated, I think, to be kind of like the life of the party. And I don't think she's, you know, kind of saying that's what she wants to be, but I think she's enjoying that a lot more. And so I guess what I'm trying to figure out is, you know, how to do both. Because I think the other thing that I'm realizing is I don't really, you know, like small talk. I enjoy deeper conversations, right? Like the conversations that you and I have, like on this podcast or even offline. And I find that when I'm in these larger social settings with lots of people, I'm never able to dive deep. And I think that's where, you know, I would be more, you know, I would enjoy more kind of like separate, kind of isolated encounters versus these large group ones. But I'm trying to figure out, but is there a happy medium? Because I also want to kind of honor and, you know, support my wife's desire to kind of have these social get-togethers, you know, every other day, every weekend, especially during the summer when like the weather is great, you know, and as things kind of start to get a little bit better with the whole coronavirus. So that's something that I just kind of put out there as I haven't solved it, but it's something that I feel like I used to be really good at kind of being kind of in these large environments and socializing, and I've kind of lost that desire, but I'm trying to figure out, is there a way for me to bring some of the positive elements back going forward, if that makes sense?
Yeah. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I think it's interesting, right? Like, I think this question really just identifies, like, it's trying to uncover, like, you know, what your superpowers are in a sense. And your superpowers are directly related to what your interests are. And I think that's a key part in life, right? That we've talked a lot about in terms of like making sure we enable our kids to. But, you know, something that's worked for you in the past is, again, based on something that you were good at and something you were interested in. And I think this question is one that is a good one. I've never heard it before, but should be asked, because sometimes it takes you back to the roots, right? Like for you, music and socialization, right? Like, those are two things that you are good at. And, well, you know, even though you may not have thought you were good at music, you were interested in those things. And if you can identify what you are interested in, you can become good at it, right? Like, because you will work harder than anyone else at it, and you will put in the time. And at some point, the people that are doing it that don't like it, you will outcompete. And it's not even about racing someone else. It's just doubling down on your interest. So that's why I appreciate this question. The other component, though, is sometimes things that may work for you, you may think are actually benefiting you, but may not be serving you or the folks around you in the best way possible, right? Like, for example, like I mentioned, you know, being able to just tell someone how I feel, that may not have been the best thing for me, because I found myself just, I was perceived as kind of like the hothead. Like, oh, you know, we're gonna hang out in Nimesh again. We're gonna go drinking, and he's gonna do something this time. Or, you know, like I was just kind of known as like the guy who just kind of speaks his mind. And although I may have felt good about it, it was alienating toward other people. So I think the second part of this question, at least for me, is constantly revisiting what has worked for you, i.e. what is interesting to you, but also understanding the impact that it not only has on you specifically, but what it has on your network, your family and friends, and how that particular action is affecting them.
Yeah, I mean, that's spot on, because like you said, especially that second point, you know, the reason why I think about some of the other things that I used to do that I enjoy, but I don't do as much, I think is also because of the situation has changed, right? Now I'm married, now I have kids, and those things may not be appropriate, or they may not be, you know, the best use of my time, or it may not be setting the right example. So yeah, it does have to kind of evolve, or it's something that, again, that I, you know, kind of how you said, like, it could be something you're good at, and you're also interested in. Well, I think with the socializing one, it's like, I felt like I was good at it, but I felt like I was losing interest in it. But now it's like, well, you know, my spouse is not, and she definitely wants to socialize and kind of get to know everyone, you know, in the neighborhood and, you know, et cetera. And I have to now kind of just not fake it, but it's like, okay, I just have to make sure my interests are also kind of somewhat being, I'm still able to kind of do something that I remember being good at, even if I'm not 100% interested in it, because I know that it's something that is going to, you know, gel with my family. And it's something that obviously I want to support, because I'm, you know, interested in our family unit, and I'm interested in like growing and exploring how we can kind of be better at that. So it is really fascinating, but you're totally right, where it's not something that, at least in a situation where you're not isolated, where you're not single. Maybe if you're single, then maybe some of this stuff could be very kind of just personal. But especially when it comes to communicating with people or doing things that are going to affect others, you have to, you know, ask yourself, even if it feels good, is it feeling good for everybody else in the room?
Yeah, totally. That's cool, man.
Yeah. So, you know, I think it's just a cool question to kind of just revisit, you know, even in business or life, or, you know, how you are spending time with the people you love. You know, what are those things that you used to do that you were good at or that you enjoyed and that you felt were working, right? That you felt was actually providing some sort of value, but then all of a sudden it changed. And again, was that change because you just got busy? Or was that changed because your circumstances have now adjusted? Or is it just something that it's not appropriate anymore because, you know, it may be affecting other people in a way that's not really gelling so well? And I do like how, you know, it is something I think could be revisited, right? Maybe it's something that you ask yourself, you know, a couple times a year to just kind of continue to stay on the right course. But yeah. Thanks for indulging me and you know, participating, because I thought it was a pretty interesting question, and I always like these types of questions that allow people to go deep.
No, this is great. I like this format too. It's kind of like just one question that, you know, is definitely, it has a lot of underlying meanings and interpretations to it. So
awesome. Great. Well, thanks everyone for listening, and we will talk to you next time.
And that is a wrap. Thank you so much for listening all the way till the end of today's episode. We hope you enjoyed The Empathetic Man. Our goal is to help you on your journey to become more empathetic and ultimately become the best version of yourself. If you enjoyed today's episode, feel free to share it with your family, your friends, your network, anyone who you think is looking to become more empathetic. They can be a man, woman, it doesn't matter. The goal here is to help the world be more empathetic one step at a time. Now, we would also love your feedback. If you can, give us your feedback on the Apple iTunes. You can give us your comments, as well as you can rate this podcast. That way we can get more viewers and more people thinking about how they can become more empathetic. Thank you again so much, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye.